Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. I'm in Jerusalem tonight, and it is Friday night, just the start of Shabbat. And I've been doing these live broadcasts on CBN's YouTube page. So I've been doing YouTube lives over there, CBN News. You can go look that up if you haven't seen them. And they've been getting a lot of play. Obviously, a lot of people are interested in what's going on here in Israel. And since they're interested, we get thousands of people online at once, and it's really engaging. I do a lot of Q&A on there, so you can, just come ask questions about what's happening with the war here in Israel. But while I was doing those, somebody made a comment that really struck me. I said, pray for Israel. Actually, there's gunfire or some sort of explosions happening off that direction right now. Well, it actually sounds like gunfire. That's not cool. Like small arms. Anyway, if something big breaks, I'll certainly let you know. You kind of hear explosions and things around here in Jerusalem. We're pretty far from where most of the fighting is. But for example, Ashdod, which is almost an hour's drive that direction, just got hit tonight and we could hear the explosions from here. That's 30 miles away or something. I mean, so amazing that sound travels that far. Anyway, somebody made a comment on the live feed when I said we need to pray for Israel, and they said prayer doesn't work. And just kind of a very cynical comment, but it just struck me like, and I said, I stopped what I was doing. I said, friend, if you really think prayer doesn't work, you're just not praying. I have been a Christian for most of my life. I have was taught to pray by my parents, my grandparents, my mentors. Some of the most impressive human beings I know on planet Earth are people who pray more than anybody else that I know. And I want to be that kind of guy. And I said, you know, if you really think prayer doesn't work, it's outside of the scope of what I'm talking about here on about the war, but I'll go over on my YouTube channel and tell you some stories of how prayer has worked in my life if you're interested. So that's what I'm doing here tonight. I just wanted to say that to set all this up, so if you weren't over there listening to it, you know why I'm talking about prayer on my YouTube channel all of a sudden. This is why. So I could go on for hours and hours and days about all the ways that God has answered prayers in my life. Most of the time, God answers prayers in ways that make it very clear that He's in control, to make it very clear that He has a plan for what I'm doing. Of course, you know, people, when they pray for protection very, very often. They pray for help with different things. They pray for prosperity or safety. Those are great. God wants to hear our prayers. I think God's ultimate will for us is that we get to know Him better on this earth and get to trust Him and love Him more like He loves us. And to do that, we got to talk to Him. If you want to have a relationship with somebody, you got to talk to that person. And God wants us to talk to Him. So He allows things into our life that cause us to get on our knees and say, oh, Lord, help me. What's happening? And then He shows up and He shows us that He's there. He wants us to know that He's there and that we can trust Him. And I have learned in my life that God is real, that God is present, that God knows everything about what's going on in my life, and that He orchestrates the things that happen in my life in order to draw me closer to Him. Sometimes those things are good things, and sometimes those things are terrible things. Things that seem terrible to me at this moment, sitting here on earth. I think someday those terrible things, when I get to heaven and I understand perfectly from God's point of view, I'll see that those things that I thought were so terrible really weren't so terrible. They were actually pretty good things, because the Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. That's Romans 8:28. So I just want to tell you, I'll tell you one story just at random of a way that God answered my prayers in my life. And it's kind of how I came to be a war correspondent. I was a stockbroker. After I got out of college, I became a stockbroker because a friend of mine, when I was in the Army, his dad was a broker. I got to know him very well, and then I got to know his dad very well. And he and I hit it off. And so while I was in college, I was like one semester short of my degree, and I got a call one day from my mentor, this father of my Ranger buddy, and he said, "Hey, I want you to come work for me in the brokerage firm." And I said, "Well, I'm not a stockbroker. I was actually selling mutual funds and insurance, but that's not the same as being a stockbroker." And he said, "I know, but I can teach you, and you're smart enough, and I know you're a hard worker, I know you're honest, so I want you to work for me." And I said, "Okay, well, but I have one semester left of college." And he said, "I need you now." And I said, "Yeah, but I've gone to college for 3.5 years and I've only got one semester left to graduate." And he said, "Why do you go to college?" And I said, "To get a good job when I get out." And he said, "I'm offering you a good job." And I thought, good point. So I never finished college. I left and went and took a job at a brokerage firm in Washington, D.C. And I sat next to my mentor. His name was also Chuck. And I learned at his feet how to do that business. And I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was very lucrative. I was in line to, you know, sort of inherit his business when he retired. And so it was a good time in our lives. But as I got to know all these very, very wealthy clients that we had at the brokerage firm, I realized that all of them had pretty much the same regret, and that was that they had just not spent enough time with their kids. All of them would tell me that sometimes. "Yeah, I just wish I spent more time with my kids. Oh, my kids hate me and won't talk to me and blah, blah, blah." And I started kind of noticing this pattern with all these very, very wealthy multimillionaires. And so I started looking at my own life and realizing I've got 5 little kids at home. They were little at that point. And I leave the house about the time that they wake up in the morning, and I come home about the time they go to bed. And so they know that there's this guy in the house named Dad, but they really don't know me, and I don't really know them. And I've got this tiny little window of time to get to know them and to let them know me before that they get big enough that they won't care to spend any time with me anymore. And I don't want to have that regret in my life. So I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, what should I do here? I mean, I have to provide for my family. This is what I do. It's my career that I've chosen. How do I restructure my life somehow so that I get more time with my kids and can really pour into their lives?" And I prayed about it for some time. And finally, I just felt like I woke up one day and realized I make good money, but I've only got one source of income. And I've been telling all my clients for all this time that they need to diversify their investments, but I'm not diversifying my cash flow. I only have one source of income. So when the market's up, I make a lot of money. When the market's down, I make a lot less money. And that's not great. I'd like to find something to sort of even that out some. And so I started casting about for what I could do to make more money or to, you know, sort of multiply my sources of revenue. And one of the things I came upon was writing. I had written in high school, and I had written some in college, and you know, I read a lot, so you know, good readers make good writers. And I had a friend that was an author, and he was encouraging me, and so long story short, I started writing on the side. It was something I could do in the mornings or at night after the kids had gone to bed, and I could make a little extra money. At that point, we didn't need a lot of extra money, but I was starting to. But then the market crashed in 2020, and I'm sorry, 2000, the year 2000, the market crashed. And gosh, was that 23 years ago? Holy smokes. So there's a gaggle of Jewish children walking around on the street down here at 10 o'clock at night in a war zone. I guess it's not much of a war zone, is it? Okay, so anyway, I started making this little extra money here, and I started thinking of a couple other things I could do to make some extra money. And then the market crashed, and it turned out I needed the extra money because the market had crashed. And I can see how God had orchestrated that so that I had those extra sources of income when I needed them most. I hadn't known that the market was going to crash. I hadn't known that my income was going to decline so much by about 90%. And so God just worked it out. So then the writing, you know, was not like making me enough to live on by any stretch, but God started working on my heart and saying, I want you to write full time for a living. And I don't know how best to describe that. He didn't send me an email. He didn't write it on the wall. Didn't give me a phone call. I just had a compulsion that I needed to go write full time for a living. And when I have a compulsion that doesn't really make logical sense, I kind of, you know, I have to take a second look at that and go like, why is my heart drawing me toward this when it's not logical? Because all my friends that were writers told me, you can't make a living as a Christian writer. It's just so you're not going to make enough money. You'll starve to death. So it's just a side hustle. That's all it is. But God was saying, go write full time. And I was like, okay, is this really God? Like, you know, the Bible says that my heart is deceitful and wicked. And so maybe my heart just is tired of being a stockbroker and burned out and I want to be famous or something. And so maybe I'm not, you know, hearing this right. So I started praying about it. God, show me if this is your will. Do you want me to do this? And as I prayed those things, I just kept getting confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that, yes, this is what I was supposed to do. And those confirmations came in the form of things that they don't happen every day. For example, I was writing an article. I wanted to write an article about this old guy that had jogged all the way across America handing out Bibles, and it was whatever. And I wanted to write a little story about him. And so I called him and asked him if he'd do an interview, and he said yes. And so I said, well, you know, I've got to go away for a week, but when I come back, we'll do the interview. Here's my phone number. If anything changes, give me a call. So I left for a week and went out backpacking. When I came back and got back into cell service, there was a message from this guy that I had never met. I just talked to him on the phone one time. And it said, Mr. Holton, please call me. It's urgent. And I thought, well, what could be urgent from a guy that I don't really know? So I called him. And he said, I feel really strange about telling you this. I never have had this happen before, but for some reason, I just feel very strongly that I'm supposed to give you a message. I said, okay. And he said, listen, I was in business for 30-something years, and then he starts to cry on the phone. And he said, I made a lot of money, but I would give up every penny of that money to spend one more day with my son who just died of cancer at age 39. And now he's like sobbing into the phone. And he's like, I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you not to make that mistake. And I just said, well, I've been praying that God would make it clear to me and show me whether or not I was supposed to write for a living. The reason I wanted to write was because I wanted to not have that regret of being away from my kids. I can write from home, can be there with my kids. This guy that I don't know just gave me a message that he never does that specifically addressed that concern. You can call that coincidence. And if it happened once or twice in your life, something like that, it might be a coincidence. But I've had things like that happen over and over and over and over and over again when I have prayed about specific things. So that's just one story, one small part of my life where God answered a prayer and made himself very clear to me. And so if that story helped you, leave a comment, please. You can go read some of my books where I tell more of those stories. You can go to chuckholton.locals.com. You can Google my name. You can go to Amazon and look up my books and get any of them that you like. But the bottom line is, prayer works. And I know it works because it's worked in my life. And there you go. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'm Chuck Holton. We'll see you.